The Lindy's Football Report. This is the Lindy's Football Report with Graham Dunn, Michael Butler, and Lynn Scarborough. College football in depth and complete in 30 minutes. The Lindy's Football Report is brought to you by U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish and Academy Sports and Outdoors.
A gift departs it. He cuts to the middle. He lost the football. It is down. It's picked up by Archie. He's on its way toward the house. He shrugs off Shaker and he scores. It's a fumble recovery for a touchdown. Vanderbilt out in front. That was just popped loose from Parson and off and running. Archie into the end zone.
We don't normally get a chance to lead with the Vanderbilt Commodores, so why not this week? After their impressive 63-10 win over Hawaii, thanks to Andrew Allegretta and the Learfield Commodore Network. So we ready to blast off? Yep, that's a NASA reference to what is hopefully a launch on Saturday. No more talk, though, of points of NIL, transfer portals, Nick versus Jimbo. We have actual games, actual scores to talk about. Thank you very much, and welcome to college football, Michael Butler.
Welcome back to yourself there, Graham, and all of our affiliates, 114 strong across the college football fruited plain. It's great to be back for our 10th season doing this thing.
Unbelievable.
Isn't it, though? And congratulations to Vanderbilt. I got to give them some credit. They haven't beaten a team like that in about 50 years, actually more than 50. Is that hard to believe?
It is hard to believe, but one other little note about that is they'd only been a road favorite twice in the last, like, 8 or 9 years. They've won both times. You had the third one Saturday when they go out to Hawaii and win. I wonder if they're still out there enjoying themselves on the beach. I don't know.
They got a game this weekend.
That's right. Too bad. Got to come back. Let's begin our breakdown of the schedule with the defending national champions. The Georgia Bulldogs begin their defense of their title, Mercedes-Benz Stadium against Oregon. The key word, defense, where the Bulldogs put on a record 5 players from that side of the ball in the first round of the NFL draft back in April. Oregon has a new coach, and it happens to be the Georgia defensive coordinator last year, Dan Lanning. Is there an advantage for the Ducks or the Dogs? The voice of the Oregon Ducks, Jerry Allen, gives his thoughts.
And they got a great quarterback, Stetson Bennett. When you get a quarterback that comes back, I mean, that gives you a huge percentage lift over your opponent. Really, really smart. And then you're recruiting. I mean, when you look at the SEC, Alabama, Georgia, those top-tier teams, they have a history of recruiting big, strong, fast athletes, not as guys for the future, but as guys that are good enough to come in and play right away. And that's something on the West Coast that, you know, the West Coast teams probably are, you know, have lagged behind that a little bit, although Oregon has been very good. I think they're in the top 15 again this year, been in the top 10 of recruiting. So they've been able to, you know, restock the cupboard pretty well. But you know, Georgia's got guys that can, I want to say plug and play, but certainly a lot more than most teams Oregon will see this year.
No doubt, a lot of dynamics with this game. Obviously, Lanning now at Oregon, coaching against his former team. You got Bo Nix at quarterback, who's played against Georgia. What will that mean? There's just a lot here, but I still think Georgia should be a pretty good size favorite.
They are about a 17-point favorite. The SEC flavor, as you mentioned, with Nix, and obviously Lanning, who knows Georgia very well. That defense, though, 3 starters return because it was so doggone good. But it's still going to be very good. But watch out for Oregon. Now, they waddled into, you remember, those Ducks, the horseshoe last year, early season, and pulled off an upset as well.
Are you saying they waddled in and flew out?
I think they did.
I think that's a good way to put it. Well, let's talk about Florida and their new coach, Billy Napier, another protege of Nick Saban. Napier was successful at his last stop, Louisiana Lafayette, where he won a Sun Belt title last year, played for 3 more. His job in Gainesville, beat a top 10 team in Utah. That's a tough task. That's what the new coach says.
They're balanced. You know, obviously the running backs are returning. This is a well-designed running attack, in my opinion. I mean, I admire the brand of football that they play. You know, I think a number of different surfaces. You know, I think they obviously do a good job of designing the plan, you know, either ors. I mean, it's well thought out. I mean, their coordinator, I mean, I've watched this guy for a long time. He's good at what he does, and he's got a quarterback that can make the decisions. So, you know, there's a reason why they're well thought of, you know, going into the season. the number of returning players that they have, you know, offensive line, tight end, running back, receiver, and most importantly, the quarterback. So they present a lot of challenges for you on offense for sure.
Knowing his background, he's going to watch a team on the other sideline that he wants his Florida Gators to look like in the very near future, able to run the football, do it consistently. Utah's the favorite here, though, coming down south. That's pretty interesting.
Well, it tells how good Utah has been. Last year, they won 9 of their last 10 games on their way to winning the Pac-12 championship. And they got Kyle Whittingham. He's the old pro on the other side. This guy's been at it 18 years at Utah. That's a long run. There aren't many coaches in college football have been at one place that long. But look at this number, 32 straight for Florida in the Swamp and home openers. They don't play big-time marquee games there very often.
You're right, they don't. And by the way, Whittingham is the second longest tenured coach at the same school behind Kurt Ferentz. Florida State got out of the gate early last week, beating Duquesne. The Noles held the FCS squad to 164 yards of offense. But just how impressive is that? Or is it impressive that they're over 500 to start the season for the first time since 2016? We are talking Florida State, right? The opponent gets a little tougher this week as Brian Kelly makes his debut with the purple and gold of LSU. There's plenty of pressure on any coach in Baton Rouge, but Kelly is fully aware of expectations since he came from South Bend. Syndicated radio host Chuck Oliver of Southern Sports Today finds the job Kelly has somewhat more conducive to making the playoffs than what he had at Notre Dame.
I always say, if you want to, if we're an elite program, I'm like, all right, what does 11-1 get you? And 11-1 at Notre Dame gets you nationwide discussion about should you be in the playoffs, we're not sure, and et cetera. 11-1 for an SEC team like LSU, you don't even have to go to Atlanta and you can get the fourth seed. So you want to know where our program really lives? Ask them, what if they're 11-1 and don't go to the conference championship game? What happens? If you say they're a playoff team, all right, well, you can go get a guy like Brian Kelly away from a place like Notre Dame. And so LSU, I've got all kinds of intrigue for them this year. I can't wait to see him play.
That does beg the question, Michael, which is the tougher job? Notre Dame has its quirks. LSU's got its. You call it.
I think LSU, because you're in the SEC where they've been winning championships in the 2000s. Not just Nick Saban, but Les Miles won one. And Coach O won one after that. So it's expectations to win it all, not just make the playoff now at LSU, and I think that's why he made the move. I'm really surprised you bring up the number. Isn't it hard to believe that Florida State, with that win last week, was their first win in the opening game since 16? That's a shocking stat in itself. This is a proud program with a lot of wins.
We're also talking about a program that has lost to the Jacksonville States of the world.
They did last year, and, you know, it's a neutral site game, but it's really a home field. There in New Orleans, there's going to be more LSU fans than Florida State fans. I think that Coach Kelly is working on that dialect, though, that Southern dialect. It is getting better.
Yeah, I think he is. By the way, the last time Florida State was in New Orleans, they won the national championship back in 1999. Speaking of new coaches, Marcus Freeman takes over for the Irish, replacing Kelly, who's now at LSU. Two Blue Bloods meeting in Columbus this weekend, Ohio State, Notre Dame. First time they've played since 2016 when they played in the Fiesta Bowl. While he is an alumni of Ohio State, Freeman has stressed the tradition of the Irish this week in South Bend.
Yeah, I think that was something that Coach Tressel did when we were at Ohio State, is we definitely spent time understanding the history and the tradition of the place we were playing at and you know, of many different things that go along with being at Ohio State. But to me, it's an appreciation for what you have and appreciation of where you get to do it at. Does it correlate with winning? I think deep down, maybe it does. You know, when you love what you're doing and where you're doing it at, I think, and you own it. I say it all the time, we got to own it. We got to own this is our program. This is our university. I think you sacrifice a little bit more for it when things get really hard. And so that's my belief in my heart. But at the end of the day, at least you're going to respect the tradition and understand the history of this place.
Now, he got his first coaching opportunity with Notre Dame last year in that bowl game and lost. What about this one? I can't see Notre Dame going to Ohio State and winning. I don't know about you.
Double-digit underdog. I can see it. I don't expect it. I mean, but these two teams are in the top five. I mean, people have a lot of confidence in Notre Dame, even with a brand-new coach. Tradition-rich, yes, and some history in this one, too. This is the 100th anniversary of Ohio Stadium. It is on the National Register of Historic Places. Their quarterback, is the Heisman front runner. I know that Bryce Young was last year's winner, but you don't repeat unless you're at Ohio State, right? One time, Archie Griffin.
That's true. C.J. Stroud is the guy you're talking about. And one more thing. Actually, a few things. With a new season, here are a couple of notes to keep in mind as we watch the first full weekend of play for starters. Georgia last went undefeated in the regular season in Southeastern Conference back in 1982. That is, until last season. We mentioned Florida State, the fact that they last played in the Superdome in 1999. They beat Virginia Tech to win the championship that year. Tennessee is on a streak of 24 straight seasons without an SEC championship. Florida, how about 16 years? Troy visits Ole Miss this weekend looking for its fourth win against an SEC opponent, which included an upset of LSU back in 2017. We mentioned Notre Dame and Ohio State last played that game in 2016. Well, they hadn't played in the regular season since 1996. Utah's last win against an SEC opponent? Yep, Alabama, Sugar Bowl, 2008. Finally, Alabama begins this season as the number one team in the AP poll, the 230th consecutive week in the rankings, and the 107th time as the top-rated team since 2008. That are both poll records. So are you ready? Let's go. For our first U.S. farm-raised catfish catch of the week, we feature the first touchdown pass of 2022. It comes from Western Kentucky, where quarterback Austin Reed hits Malachi Corley for 16 yards in the opening minutes of the win over Austin Peay. Randy Lee has the call on the Hilltopper Sports Network.
Rolling right, Reed wings it down the middle. Hey! That's a Hilltopper touchdown to the aforementioned Malachi Corley.
Remember, for the tailgate tent or the pregame party, U.S. Farm Raised Catfish is always the winning catch. To find out more, visit uscatfish.com.
This is the Lindy's Football Report.
Lindy's, America's leader in providing great magazines and specialty publications covering the gamut of sports. For daily updates, check out lindysports.com with original content, including features, columns, and predictions. LindySports.com also features photo galleries, fantasy sports news, and up-to-the-minute items to keep you abreast of events from the ever-changing realm of sports. Lindy's, America's leading sports authority.
Saturdays are all about college football. Your tailgate matters too. Make it great with U.S. farm-raised catfish. Catch up on all the great recipes by visiting our website. Check out our videos and learn about how U.S. farm-raised catfish makes every Saturday exceptional, no matter the outcome of the biggest games. As always, it's fresh from our ponds to your plate. Remember, like we say every week, for the tailgate tent or the pregame party, U.S. farm-raised catfish is always the winning catch. Find out more, visit uscatfish.com.
Quench your thirst for adventure with the Magellan Outdoors and Shiner collaboration at Academy Sports and Outdoors. Swing by your local Academy store or shop online at academy.com/shiner and find exclusive clothing, outdoor gear, drinkware, plus more. For a limited time only, this can't-miss collection celebrates outdoor adventures and ice-cold Shiner like never before. Are you ready? Get Magellan Outdoors and Shiner gear in-store or online only at Academy.
The Lindy's Football Report.
Well, has the Big Red lost its blue blood card? With the answer, here's Michael Butler.
What is a blue blood? Webster's defines it as a member of the noble family. In sports, it might mean of an exclusive class or elite. In college football, who are the blue bloods? Sports Illustrated listed 8 teams on its list. Alabama, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Michigan, Southern Cal, Texas, and Nebraska. Nebraska opened the 2022 season in Ireland last week with its 7th straight defeat, the 4th longest in the country. Each loss was by single digits, a record for the poll era. Under Scott Frost, the Cornhuskers are 5-21 in one-score games. Nebraska is a member of the 900 Club for all-time wins, ranking them 8th overall among major college programs. But the program has lost 49 games since 2015, matching the total number of losses under Tom Osborne over a 25-year stretch from the 1970s until his retirement. How long does the Blue Blood tag last?
is Big Red on the cut line, unless things turn around. Scott Frost, alum or not, might be on the cut line himself, unless those close losses turn into wins. The Huskers are back home Saturday versus FCS opponent North Dakota. Maybe the fans will show up. The home sellout streak, the longest in college football, dates back to 1962 and stands at 376 games. Now that's something to cheer about.
Well, it's a season opener for Lindy's Football Report, and it's a season opener for Lynn Scarborough as we talk to him each and every week. Lynn, it's back. We're excited. And we're excited here at the Lindy's Football Report because this is our 10th season.
Yeah, isn't it great? It's always a great time of the year. And, you know, our Lindy's got our basketball magazines off to the printer, college and pro, so we can just sink totally, you know, 100% into college football. And it's very, very exciting. And certainly thankful for the way this network has developed, well more than 100 affiliates. And want to thank every affiliate. The listening audience, let your local affiliates know that you appreciate this. And U.S. Farm Raised Catfish and Academy Sports, the two title sponsors for us, back with us again this year. And certainly we wouldn't be able to do the program without them. So hope our audience will let them know they appreciate it and give some patronage to those guys.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about actually what has happened over this past summer. It's been rather controversial with the situation between Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher. We've had NIL. We've had a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, I think, Graham, and, you know, we've been covering this a long time. I've been covering it for decades. And I think it's the most significant off-the-field time that we've ever had in college football and really in college athletics and amateur athletics, because simultaneously you've got the NIL happening, name, image, likeness. You've got transfer portals. You've got the expansion of conferences. Any of those three things would be an earthquake-type thing in the landscape on their own, and you got all of them happening at the same time. And, you know, the NIL has caused, you know, a lot of people to be nannying back and forth and you know, kind of throwing snowballs at each other because of the difference that it's making with the money that can be offered to players and their consideration in going to colleges, and that's understandable. I'm not sure that a thought was really given to what the repercussions might be before they just threw it out there and didn't really have, you know, restrictions on it. I think the transfer portal is an even bigger aspect. I was looking down the list of just take quarterbacks. I mean, you know, look at Oklahoma and Southern Cal. Look at the Southeastern Conference. You've got multiple quarterbacks. An Ohio State quarterback's going to start at Texas, and Central Florida quarterback's going to start at Oklahoma, and a former Oklahoma quarterback's going to start at Southern Cal and South Carolina. You've got the Nebraska quarterback goes to Kansas State, and JT Daniels is going to be used to be at Southern Cal, and he's going to be playing for his third school. Auburn sends a quarterback to Oregon, and Oregon sends a quarterback to Auburn. It's just all over the board. And it's very difficult to really know what to think. Lindy's, you know, had to do its magazines making predictions, really not knowing where everybody was going to be playing and who are going to be the field generals, these teams. So I think that's significant. And then you've got the upcoming change of conferences, the conference realignment. Some of them already taken effect this year with Conference USA, the Sun Belt, and schools at that level. And then, of course, you got Southern Cal and UCLA that are going to move to the Big Ten, and some others may be doing that. And you got to think that all the Power Five conferences are going to be impacted. The American Athletic is already heavily impacted. And I covered the SEC media days in Atlanta, and thought Commissioner Sankey defended the SEC's position pretty much there, since they're going to be adding Texas and Oklahoma. And he said, basically says at least we're adding schools that are contiguous geographically, so we're maintaining those rivalries, and with the demographics of the fan bases being similar to the ones that are already there, which is not necessarily the case with some of these other conference expansions.
Let's talk a little bit about last weekend, in particular, Scott Frost. His fanny's getting warmer and warmer.
Yeah, is there a way to get any worse? I mean, they've got a long losing streak. They have an 11-point lead. I believe in the second half on Northwestern, the team that we've got picked toward the bottom of the league, and they blow that. And I think y'all have already talked about the number of close games that that Nebraska has lost. It's an overwhelming amount of games that they're within one score, and it seems like they lose them all. And Scott Frost, I mean, he's a hometown hero. I mean, he was their quarterback. He led them to a championship, and you know how badly they don't want things to go bad for him. But I don't know that things can get a whole lot worse and Scott Frost be able to keep his position.
And there'll be others that will probably be on the hot seat before we get to the end of September. We'll wait and see. Before we get you to pick games, and we do that every year, but we're going to pick a couple of other things, such as your preseason playoff picks.
I'm going to stick somewhat with Lindy's. I like Alabama, Ohio State, and Clemson that we've got there. I kind of like Oklahoma State. If you want to look down for a dark horse, they got Spencer Sanders at quarterback. I think he's good. They've got good momentum. They seem like they come close a lot of times and don't quite make it. So I'm going to throw, if I've got a dark horse in there, Oklahoma State. I'll tell you some other, if you want to call it dark horses, some of these programs are hard to be called dark horses, but, you know, Georgia, Michigan, Oregon, all three of those that are up there high. I think Arkansas is a team that's on the move in the right direction. I like Penn State. Penn State with Sean Clifford coming back for now. I think his fourth year as a starter. He's good, and they're a strong program. North Carolina State is one that I think is being overlooked. They've got a quarterback, a wide receiver combination that's the best in NC State history. So I think you got a lot of dark horse teams, but I'll go with what Lindy's magazine picks: Alabama and Ohio State to play in the finals, and I'm gonna go with Alabama. That's who we picked in our publications, and so far I haven't seen anything to change my mind.
All right, we will pick some games. These are all from Saturday, and we'll try to run through these pretty quickly. We'll start off with the big one in the horseshoe: Notre Dame and Ohio State.
I like Ohio State. Notre Dame's a good team, but if Ohio State didn't win this, I'll be shocked, and I'll really be surprised if Ohio State didn't win it by a pretty comfortable margin.
Our top 25 matchup: Cincinnati and Arkansas.
I like Arkansas to win the game, and I'm nothing against Cincinnati, but I think a lot of this is based on what they have done the last 2 years, being ranked, made the Final Four, the quarterback situation they had last year. This is not the same Cincinnati team. They're playing at an Arkansas team with momentum. I like Arkansas.
Mike Leach is back from Mississippi State. They open with Memphis.
Yeah, this is often a trap game for Mississippi State, Memphis, Ole Miss, whoever plays them. I like Mississippi State. I think Leach has got an outstanding offense. He's got a quarterback that can run the air raid offense. So I like Mississippi State to win the game.
This one on Sunday, LSU and Florida State at the Superdome.
Boy, I'm really torn on this one. The quarterback situation at both teams. I'm going to take LSU primarily as a home field advantage. It's not technically a home field, but it's going to be strongly LSU. I'm going to pick them, but if FSU wins the game, it won't surprise me.
The national champs from last year, Georgia, is in Atlanta to take on Oregon.
Okay, I'm going to take Georgia, but if you look at the schedule, if Georgia doesn't lose to Oregon, I don't see them losing a ball game during the regular season. You know, they don't play Alabama. I don't think they play A&M. They get Auburn at home. If they don't lose to Oregon, I don't think they'll lose. Oregon's got Bo Nix, who's a good quarterback, and he was the quarterback at Auburn. He's played in that facility before. He's played Georgia three times. It's fourth time the charm for him. He won't be awed by playing Georgia. So I'm going to take Georgia, but Oregon's a good ball team, and they could give them a real game.
And as we like to do each week, pick an upset special.
I'm going to take Florida. They're a three-point dog last time I looked to Utah. Utah's ranked number 7 in the country by us. They're picked to win the Pac-12. This is two teams formerly coached by Urban Meyer. It's bigger for Florida than it is for Utah. If they can win this game and beat Kentucky next week, they're off to a 2-0 start. I like Florida to step up and win it. I'll go with the Gators.
This has been the Lindy's Football Report, brought to you by U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish and Academy Sports and Outdoors.